Good afternoon, everyone. Let's start out with a quick prayer. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. All right. So first off, I'd like to start off by answering the question Pastor Uncle asked. I think the church as a whole is a family. I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother would always make fun of the fact that people would call each other brother. Like people would go around church and be like, hey, brother, I need to do this. And then what was even funnier than that was that in the order of service, it all would be shortened down to bro. And this was around the time that bro was like a really big thing. So we'd just say bro Stanley or bro, like bro Jeb Kumar or something. And probably sis. Yeah. And yeah, so like back then it just seemed like they're all a family. For some reason, people don't say brother anymore. Maybe I'm just missing it, but yeah. Anyway, when people think of a Christ-centric community, the first thing that normally comes up is church. So let's talk about church first. Interestingly enough, the word church actually means to call out. It's like a group of people that are each called out individually by God to serve for like a certain purpose in the church. And you think when someone as wise and like omnipotent as God calls people out like that with such like meticulous care, it would be basically like a perfect church, right? Everything would run like clockwork and everything would be perfect. It's sort of like earlier this week at school, right? We were talking about how George Washington is considered one of the best presidents ever. And we were wondering, why is that? Basically, what we concluded was that the reason he was that good was because everyone in his cabinet was one of the most enlightened and knowledgeable people of that time. Whether it was Thomas Jefferson or John Adams, they were like literally the smartest people of their time. And in fact, the first five presidents of the United States were all on Washington's cabinet. So because of that, like, basically powerhouse of a cabinet, Washington became one of the most, like, well-known presidents of our time. So, similar to that, I don't really know much about basketball, but I heard it's sort of like how when Michael Pippen and Scottie Jordan were on the Bulls. Like, the same thing. Yeah, it was a joke. Just tough crowd. Okay. Yeah, so, like, if you have a powerhouse of a team like that, obviously you're going to be amazing. And isn't that what the church should be if each person is picked out by God? That's what I was thinking. But it's actually not like that at all. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Because if everyone is perfectly set up already and perfectly righteous, what would even be the point? The church is meant to bring people together so that the individual can grow, and by doing that, everyone around him can also grow towards Christ. So that's why when talking about the church, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were influential." Because the purpose of the church is to come in as sinners and come in as people who are impure, but then to go out closer to Christ. And this is not, first of all, this is not a mandate to sin, obviously. Because once you're in the church, whether or not you're like the worst sinner ever, you're held to the same standard as everyone else. Because as the scripture says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, so the body of Christ may be built up. He gave us this huge array of resources so that we can all grow closer to Christ, whether it's through our pastors, or it's through a guest speaker, or it's through just everyone else in the community. This is all so that we can grow closer to Christ. And Paul continues by saying, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work." So we're each given a certain role in the church, and we're designed to fulfill that role so that we can make the community stronger and make the church as a whole grow closer to Christ. However, and also the people he brings together have a variety of different talents and abilities. We can see that in our own church. Everyone has a variety of talents and abilities, and when they come together, they're so much stronger than the sum of their parts. But you're probably thinking, if everyone does exactly what they're supposed to, then everything will work out fine. But that's true about a lot of things. Like, if everyone does what's supposed to, obviously work out. But something that's different about the church is that we have Christ at the center of it. As we saw in the gospel reading today, there were many other people who weren't as good, or like, a lot worse, maybe not worse than we are, but like, they're not great people. The Israelites, you know, they were always grumbling and complaining about the things that God gave them. And they were considered God's chosen people at the time. But they weren't much better than everyone else. The difference was that God was always willing to look out for them. We talked about how God sent them manna from heaven. And in the same way, later on, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said that he was the bread of life. Similar to how he gave the Israelites the bread of life back in the day. Except this bread was so much more valuable. It wasn't just for the Pharisees or the Sadducees. It was for everyone that came after, because they could all be saved by him. And only because God loves the church in the same way that he loves each and every one of us, that he's willing to give up his son for them. And no matter how rebellious or disobedient the Israelites were, or the people of Jesus' time, to the point where they were willing to crucify him, or even how far away we stray from God as a church, the church has a very special place in God's heart, and he'll never forsake them. In fact, if I had to sum this all up, I'd say that God sees the church a lot like he sees each and every one of us. Sure, we all start out as sinners, and just like the people of the church, there may be many sinners there too. But God gives us all opportunities, whether it's through coming to services or going to fasting prayers or anything like that. He gives us opportunities to grow closer to God, the same way he gives each individual and the church as a whole more opportunities. And in the same way that we often fall short and we often make mistakes, the church as a whole will also often make mistakes. And obviously we can't all be perfect. But because of Christ's infinite grace and infinite mercy, we're able to stay afloat and keep growing closer to him. So with that, I'd like to say a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather together in your name and to praise and worship and learn about you, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we continue the service, Lord, to just grow closer to you and to help the people around us grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.